John 13, verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If he had known me, he should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. The Lord will bless the reading of his words.
Thank you, Young. Well, we come to the latter verses of chapter 13 and then into chapter 14. It's really interesting in these verses that we have a number of questions raised. Peter, he asked two questions. Then the Lord, he asked a question of Peter. Then we find that Thomas in chapter 14, he asked a question. And likewise, Philip, he also asked a question. So it is a chapter in which questions are being asked from the table. For you remember, the Lord having taken his garments, he sat at the table again. So let us think about these verses in some small measure. You notice, first of all, in verses 31 and 32, the subject is glory. For the Lord Jesus Christ would say that he had glorified the Father, and the Father had glorified him. He further said that he was glorified in the Father and the Father in him. In those two verses, where the Lord speaks about glory, he's saying to us this. What he's saying to us is this. He glorified the Father in going to the cross, and by the sacrificial death of crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ glorified the Father. Number one, he'd put away sin. And number two, he destroyed him who had the power of death, even the devil. And so in his accomplishments on the cross, he glorified the Father. But then in what sense did the Father glorify him? Well, of course, it was on the third day that God raised him from among the dead and gave him glory. And so we find that in these verses, we have set before us in the setting of the passage we've read, the great subject of glory. God glorified in the Son, and the Father glorifying the Son, and that in the light of Calvary and all that was accomplished at Calvary, and then the subsequent resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how the passage really begins. But then, of course, he then speaks, of course, not only about glory. He then speaks to his disciples in relation to the fact that, after all, he is going. He's going back to his Father, as he told them in chapter 7, and told them again in chapter 8. And now we find that in these verses that open up our passage today, that we have the Lord Jesus Christ saying to his disciples that, after all, not only was there glory, but also, of course, he was going away. So in verse number 33, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of his going away and where he was going. Now, they could not follow him at that point in time. But having brought to their notice that he was going away, then in his absence, he gives them a new commandment. And in that new commandment, he says that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. And so we find that in these closing verses of chapter 13, the Lord is just raising with his disciples the great subject that he is glorified, and the fact that they are loved of him, for he gave them a new commandment that they should love one another. It is against this background that Peter now raises a question with the Lord. The Lord says, "Whither I go, ye cannot come." So Peter says, "Whither goest thou?" And as a result of Peter's question, the Lord establishes again in their minds that where he was going, they could not follow him. And as we know from chapter 7 and chapter 8, his mind was ever on this. He was going back to the Father. And so he's saying to these disciples, "I'm going, but at the moment you cannot follow me." But of course, afterward, that is, after the Lord Jesus Christ has gone back to the Father, there will be that moment in time when all true believers will actually be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall enter where he is and then be forever with him. But in the meantime, during his absence, he's saying to these disciples, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you." That is, in the Old Testament, they were to love their enemies. He says, "I've got another commandment, that ye love one another, and the extent of that love, even as I have loved you, so love ye one another." So in the absence of the Lord himself, on whom they'd leaned for those number of years, now he says, there's a great subject of loving one another, that is, support one another in my absence. Whatever the difficulties, whatever the trials may cross the pathway of these disciples, they were to find their resource in loving one another. And so we see how important it is, even for us believers today, whilst the Lord is absent. He's gone back to glory, and he's with the Father. Therefore, again we learn, the same subject comes before us, that we should love one another, even as Christ loved us. And so we see love among believers is of the character of sacrificial love. Because when the Lord displayed his love, it was in his death at Calvary. And so we find he's saying to these disciples that in his absence, the great support for one another will be in that they loved one another. And so we find we have, first of all, the glory, the fact that Christ has been glorified by God, and he has glorified God in his death, his resurrection, his being with the Father, and now their essential quality to love one another. But now says Peter, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Now the Lord had said in chapter 7 and again in chapter 8 that he was actually going to the Father. But now we find that just as these disciples were slow to pick up some of the things the Saviour said, it's just a reminder to us. Now we can be slow and get a hold of divine truth. And so in answer to Peter's question, "Whither goest thou?" the Lord says, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. So before ever any believer could go to heaven and to be where Christ is, the Lord himself must go. Or up to that point in time, no, there was not a man on the other side of death who'd entered into heaven itself. It was the Lord Jesus Christ after Calvary. And after he was raised from the dead, we know that the Lord, he ascended up and passed through the heavens, entered the heaven itself, and sat down at the right hand of God. Now says the Lord Jesus, you see, because I have gone, and because today there is a man in the glory on the other side of death, so there will be a day when believers in him will likewise enter into glory, even though we are but men and women upon the earth at this present time. And so the Lord Jesus would answer Peter's first question, whither goest thou? He said, well, I'm going really to my Father. You cannot come with me now, but there will be the afterward when all believers will go to be where Christ is. That raised another question in Peter's mind. He said, Lord, why? Why cannot I follow thee now? Had he left the question there, that would have been fine. But he didn't. After saying, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? He said, I will lay down my life for thy sake. And so the Lord has to take up Peter now in relation not only to his second question, but to the fact that he was declaring that he's prepared to lay down his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that the Lord, in handling Peter's second question, why can I follow thee now? Even though he declared the laying down of his life for him, instead, Peter, rather than lay down his life, he would save his life. Because the Lord now, through his omniscience, was able to say to Peter, you see, Peter, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. So instead of laying down his life for the Lord, he'd rather save his life by denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Not once, but three times, Peter denied his Lord. No wonder when the gospel tells us that when the Lord looked upon, he went out and wept bitterly. And so we have then Peter's two questions and the Lord's question to Peter. And so we find the great truth that where the Lord is, he's going to have all his children there. All those who believed on him going to be with him. You know, that's a precious truth, isn't it? To think that we should spend eternity with Christ. We shall live in the enjoyment of his presence. And so we find that there's great privileges for the believer in relation to the future. And so we never forget, I'm sure, where I am, there he may be also. But then that brings us into chapter 14. And in chapter 14, the Lord says unto these disciples, let not your heart be troubled. What was the problem? Just this. The Lord had revealed in these closing verses of chapter 13 how that one of them would betray him. And the Lord had actually exposed who that disciple was, who would betray him. And so they were troubled in heart because even one of their own number, Judas Iscariot, actually betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. So their hearts were troubled. But further, what the Lord had now revealed to them, that even Peter, the disciple who seemed to be a leader amongst the disciples, Peter would deny him thrice before the cock crew. You understand, can't you, why their hearts were troubled? For if Judas Iscariot could betray him, and Simon Peter could deny him, then there's a great possibility that we too might deny the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord said, no, let not your hearts be troubled. Even those things are so. And even though Peter will deny me, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Well, he says, see, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And so now the Lord he brings before us in the opening verse of chapter 14 this great truth that he actually is going to the Father's house.
In my Father's house are many mansions.
The first one.
Let your heart be troubled. You believe in God.
Yes, this is the phrase I wanted. Why were not to let their hearts be troubled? He said, no, you believe in God. That is, Jesus said, they believed in the God who is altogether invisible. Of course, eternal in being. A God who is a God of love and a God of light, who is a God of life. He said, ye believe in God. He now said, look, believe also in me. And so the Lord, he establishes in the minds of his disciples, yet again, his co-equality with God. The God whom they'd never seen. He said, they believed in him. Now he said, believe also in me, whom ye have seen. And so we find the co-equality of the Lord Jesus Christ with God the Father is shared with God, the attributes of Godhead glory. And so he would encourage these disciples, even though they were troubled in heart, just to believe in him. And then he introduces us to the Father's house. We find, of course, the Lord has said unto the Jews, you've made my Father's house a den of thieves. But that was his house here upon the earth. The Lord is now referring to his Father's house in heaven. In other words, the home of the Father. And he says, now in my Father's house, there are many mansions, many abiding places, indicating to those disciples, no matter how many disciples there may be, there is room in the Father's house for each and for every one. And that's what he is saying to them in these opening verses of chapter 14. My Father's house, that's my Father's home. But there are many abiding places in it, so that all believers in him will have a place in the Father's house in the coming day when the Lord shall come from heaven to receive us unto himself, that we might be forever with him. So he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. The Lord would not have led his disciples to believe in something that was not true. He says, if there wasn't many abiding places in my Father's house, I would have told you. Listen.
If I go and prepare a place for you, I will.
Now he says, as far as you are concerned, if I go and prepare a place for you, if I go and prepare a place for you, and so the Lord now, he says unto these 11 disciples, it's going away, although it would leave them in a different sphere altogether. They'd always lived in the enjoyment of the presence of Christ, but now he's going away. If I go away, he said, I will prepare a place for you. And what does the Lord mean? Well, I just want to suggest to you, when the Lord spoke about his going away, he's going back to the Father, he's going back by way of the cross, and he's going to enter into heaven itself, as Hebrews chapter 9 reminds us. And so the Lord, in resurrection and ascension, he entered into heaven itself. And the fact that the Lord, as a man, as having true humanity, has entered into heaven itself, and now is taking his place in the very presence of God in heaven, he says, my very presence there. Now, a man on the other side of death is the assurance that where I am, there ye will be also. And so it's an amazing truth. The Lord is setting before these disciples who were troubled in heart, but now he would encourage them to think to the future and realize that he, in his going to heaven, would actually prepare the place for them to be where he is. What a tremendous truth again. Not only did they know the presence of the Lord when he was here, when he said to them, they will enjoy the presence of the Lord in heaven itself. And so we can take great comfort from these precious promises of the Lord, for they're applicable to us. For he who has gone into heaven, we shall one day. Notice, he's not coming to take us up to heaven. He's not sending some angel to take us up to heaven. It simply says, if I go away, and he's gone, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Tremendous truth, isn't it? The Lord actually is going to come himself, and he's going to receive us unto himself. So when it comes to our going to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be the one who will lead the many sons into glory. And so he would encourage his disciples to let their troubled hearts be settled in these great truths of where he is and where they would be. And so we find that as he opens chapter 14 with his tremendous truth of the Father's house, the many mansions, his going there, and our going there because he is there, that raises a question now with Thomas. For the Lord is saying, whether I go, don't know. Now says Thomas, Lord, how can we know the way? After all that the Lord had set before them, Thomas had this question for the Lord. Lord, how can we know the way? Well, the Lord said, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You see, Thomas, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. The Lord Jesus Christ is all three. He is the way, and there is no man coming unto the Father but by me. The only way to the Father is by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, look, I am the way. He says, I'm also the truth. So the truth of this revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to these disciples, who after all, their minds were very much focused upon the earth and not upon heavenly things. He said, look, I am the truth. And what I've said unto you, this revelation of you being with me in the glory of the Father's house is verily true. And after all, I am the life. And so we find the Lord Jesus Christ, the way to the Father, the truth concerning our way to the Father, and the fact that he is life. And we thank God that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we not only see in him that life which is eternal, but we have been given also eternal life. And so he answers Thomas's question with this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But then again, we find that Philip, as he listened to the conversation, a question arises in his mind. And so he says unto the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. In other words, we'll be totally satisfied if you will show us the Father. And from that simple statement or question by Philip, the Lord now opens up the great doctrine of his own blessed person. He that has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, he's saying unto Philip, Philip, have I been so long with you? These years that we spent together, have you not realized that to see me is to see the Father? You see, God has been manifest in flesh. And Christ is the manifestation of God in flesh. And therefore, to see Christ, and for those disciples to look upon him as they did, as they had done, was actually to see the Father. So all that there is to know of the Father, all that is to be seen of the glory of the Father, is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see in these verses, questions are raised, answers are given. And questions raised by the Lord, and from his questions to those disciples, he develops that great truth that after all, we're going to be where he is. And seeing him will be to see the Father. Often the question is raised, no, will we ever see God? Well, I take it from the Lord's words, we shall see God, but only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that God is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall see God. That is, in the Lord Jesus Christ now, as a man in the glory, when he comes to receive us unto himself, that we might be where he is, we should spend an eternity occupied with the glory of God, displayed and shining out in the very person of the Lord Jesus. And so these questions at the table, whither goest thou? Why cannot I go with thee? How can we know the way? Show us the Father. Now these verses have opened up to us really tremendous truth as a result of the Lord's answer to those questions. So we trust that God will again just bless our meditation together, and may we also be encouraged that after all, he is coming to receive us, that we might be forever with him.